Kansas City's first toll road opens this weekend in Overland Park. And more on the way. A new bathroom bill becomes law in Kansas. Another week and more twists and turns on a Royals ballpark.
I don't think we're that far away.
Plus, Independence becomes the new epicenter for public pushback against data centers.
This is going to totally affect our quality of life.
I don't know who in the world would turn down $150 billion worth of work. I know Kansas will take it. They took the Chiefs Stadium.
Those stories and the rest of the week's news straight ahead.
Week in Review is made possible through the generous support of Dave and Jamie Cummings, Bob and Marlise Gourley, the Courtney S. Turner Charitable Trust, John H. Mize, and Bank of America N.A. co-trustees. The Francis Family Foundation, through the discretionary fund of David and Janice Francis. And by viewers like you. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Nick Haynes. Glad to have you with us on our weekly journey through the most impactful, confusing, and downright head-scratching local news stories. Hopping on board the Week in Review bus with us this week, heading up your Johnson County Post, Kyle Palmer. From the world of television news, KSHB political reporter Charlie Keegan. From KCUR News, local government reporter Savannah Hawley-Bates. And former Star reporter and editorial writer Dave Helling. Now, Kansas City's first toll road opens this weekend, starting Saturday. You'll pay up to $3.50 to ride the new express lanes on 69 Highway through Overland Park. There are no toll booths. Cameras will scan your license plate and a bill will arrive by mail. KTAG users will get a discount. Now, we're a community that hates to be inconvenienced on the road. So how is this project going down, Kyle, 3 years after basically round-the-clock construction along that site?
Well, I think for those very factors that you mentioned, I think for the most part the reactions right now are excitement that that construction is over. There's also maybe a little bit of befuddlement or mystery or skepticism because, as you said, this is the first project of its kind, not only in the metro, but also in Kansas. This is different from the tolled lanes on I-70 and that entire highway is a toll road. This is just certain lanes on the highway on US 69 are going to be toll lanes, so you can have the choice of whether you want to use those express lanes or stay in the regular non-tolled lanes. But I think overall, a lot of drivers in that area excited that that construction project is finally coming to an end.
It is unique, as you mentioned, but are other cities looking at this and saying, you know, if Overland Park can do that, we may want to get some revenue ourselves for roads by doing that?
I haven't heard much about that across the metro. I think Kansas City, though, always does look at itself as kind of a big city, and we can do things like host the World Cup and have big stadiums and do toll roads now as part of that. So I think it's part of growing up, maybe, is having some toll roads.
Yeah, it's not the first toll road in Kansas City. It's the first one now, or the only one now. But for decades, it cost you a dime or a quarter to cross the Broadway Bridge from North Kansas City into Kansas City, which caused enormous resentment for many, many years from Northlanders who said, in essence, why do I have to pay to come into Kansas City? And there was also a toll for many years on the 18th Street Expressway from Kansas City into Kansas City, Kansas. People get a little bit angry about the idea that they have to somehow pay money to either have the convenience of a new road or to enter into a part of the community that maybe they just visit on occasion. The reality, Nick, is that we have built a system in which everyone sort of has equal access to the roads, and the idea now that you can travel faster if you're wealthy enough will rub some people the wrong way.
Absolutely. They were calling it, if you remember at the very beginning, we were going to have Cadillac and Lexus lanes,
yes,
is what they were referring to it as.
Well, and there could also be some logistical issues, right? Because people, will they be confused about when they can cross over, because there are two entry points going north and south that you can enter or exit, and so will people, but there's not a physical barrier, so will people creep over into the lanes when they're not supposed to, so they'll have to kind of figure those logistics out as well.
And Missouri has a law that says you can't have tolls, so that's why we're not seeing them there, and is that why, of course, we are now seeing a mammoth expansion of I-70 from Kansas City to St. Louis, adding a new lane in each direction, none of it coming from tolls, it's coming from the regular budget.
Yeah, I mean, that's how highway expansions tend to occur in Missouri. Though they've shown, and data has shown, that expanding highways like this does not actually decrease traffic, which is the goal of the I-70 expansion. You add a lane or two, and for a couple months, maybe a year, traffic goes down, but then it induces demand for the road. So more drivers will come, more traffic will come. Actually, the only way they've found to limit traffic on highways is a congestion pricing toll road like the one on 69 Express.
But I have heard from a number of employees here at the station who used to live close to it, have moved since then, and are very very grateful now that for this weekend that they won't have to be subject to those tolls this
no,
week.
Well, I mean, I think we'll see how the drivers react down there. I mean, I think Dave raises a good point. Those were concerns we heard when this project was being discussed a few years ago. Interesting to see now what the reaction will be once he's actually open.
Yeah, it's going to be, you could choose to take the lane or not, you know, and then Kansas says this should help reduce traffic crashes with all the congestion on the morning commute.
Well, this happened fast. Kansas Republicans overturned the governor this week to pass a bathroom bill into law. It requires transgender Kansans to use restrooms and locker rooms that match their sex at birth. The measure also bans multi-stall unisex bathrooms in government buildings, public schools, and state-owned sports venues. That would include the proposed new Kansas City Chiefs Stadium in Wyandotte County. But, Kyle, I see this applies to city halls, public libraries, parks, county rec facilities. Are they going to be doing some remodeling now, or are they also on the hook for enforcing this new law?
Well, also schools, too. I know there are some Johnson County high schools that now have, I guess you would call, more modern unisex bathrooms that are multi-stalled, and so will those spaces be completely renovated or just relabeled? Those schools will have to figure that out. But there is some uncertainty about how this will be enforced. That was part of the message that Governor Laura Kelly made when she vetoed it. Maybe some unintentional consequences that she nodded to. But we'll just have to see how this plays out, because I think both individuals and public entities are going to have to figure out how to navigate this law, which, as you say, kind of sailed through without a lot of discussion or debate, and we're just now kind of coming to terms with what some of the provisions will mean, practically speaking.
If you've gone to KCI Airport, they have those multi-stall unisex restrooms there. That's a huge part of that infrastructure at the airport. That wouldn't be allowed under this Kansas law.
Right. It wouldn't be allowed, and we saw some pushback a little bit about some of that when KCI opened that terminal. But in Kansas, the law is a little subjective, too. It says that cities or these entities have to make reasonable adjustments. So I think defining what's reasonable, if it's just putting a different sign on a bathroom or if it's tearing down walls and remodeling, that might be not reasonable.
But your local city hall could get a fine of up to $25,000 after a second offense if they're not complying with the law.
Right. And like Charlie said, though, this is subjective on how they go for it. And also, I'm interested to see how enforcement will work. There's not really clear in the discussion. How are they going to choose, like, if people are actually going to the bathrooms that are match their sex assigned at birth?
And there might be a legal challenge as well. And there may be some people who try to test the law early on. So I don't think the conversation is over, but it should not be a surprise that this was passed over the governor's veto. The Republicans have been talking about
it. What is a surprise to me, though, Kyle, is that we just had, this passed pretty handily with large majorities of the legislature in both houses, and yet the number one item on the Trump administration's agenda was to do redistricting, changing the political maps in Kansas, and they couldn't find enough votes to make that happen.
Well, and redistricting is not going to happen in Kansas this year. I mean, Speaker Hawkins has said that he doesn't have the votes. I think Republicans see transgender issues as something that is winning for them. Polls consistently show that Americans are relatively split on the issue, but when you get down to fine-grained policies like this and their implementation and their practical impacts on individuals, that could change. But Republicans certainly see this for them and their base as a winning issue.
Another week brings with it more breathless news coverage about a new Royals ballpark. Speaking to reporters in Surprise, Arizona, as the Royals spring training is underway, Sherman claims a deal is tantalizingly close.
We're not settled yet anywhere, but I would tell you, I don't think we're that far away. You know, we're still evaluating Kansas.
I don't think we're that far away, end quote. What does that actually mean? And does it mean he's boarding a plane, Charlie, right now to ink a deal with local officials?
I don't think it means that, no. I think this is the fourth year maybe now that we've had the same quote from spring training in Arizona from John Sherman, so I'm not getting my hopes up.
What I also find just as perplexing, sorry, Savannah.
Oh, no, I do think it is interesting, though, that, I mean, this has been years of this. I don't think we should be gullible enough to assume that something's going to happen tomorrow. But in the mayor's state of the city, he also teased a Royals deal coming soon and then had some interesting tweets over that week, this past weekend, from the Washington Square Park area, from a parking lot, from Union Station, being like, enjoy the beautiful day, Kansas Cityans. So I think they're all hoping that they're closer, though they might be saying they're closer than they actually are.
But the mayor, Quinton Lucas, of course, was also the one that said, you know, all of this was the media, you know, too much hoopla on that, and the Chiefs would continue to play in Kansas City, and that didn't happen either.
Oh, exactly. And like Charlie said, we've had 4 years of this where we can't really believe anything that's happening.
Absolutely. What was interesting about it, though, Kyle, was the fact that he said, you know, I'm still looking at Kansas. Now, I thought many people thought, well, the Aspera campus, they didn't want that. That was over. Have you heard of any sites that the Royals are actively looking at in the state of Kansas?
Well, it's like Godfather 3. It's like when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. We have not heard any real serious chatter about any other Royal site in Overland Park or Johnson County. They did buy the mortgage on that Aspera site. That's what so closely linked them to that particular site. There have been rumors, pure speculation, that they might also be looking at the Brookridge area around I-435 and Antioch, just because it's a big space that has had some trouble getting off the ground, but have not heard any serious chatter about the Royals coming back to Johnson County.
You know, the Royals long ago stopped listening to my advice, which is fine, I guess. Maybe I'm not making much sense, but the longer this goes, there was an op-ed in the newspaper in the Kansas City Star today suggesting the Troost and Truman Road site, which our friend Eric Wesson has talked a little bit about near 18th and Vine. The longer these discussions go on, Nick, the more sites sort of crop up as possibilities. And what that means is when they do pick somewhere to go, a lot of people are going to be disappointed or frustrated or angry. And the longer this goes, that frustration grows. If John Sherman and Quentin Lucas and others connected with these negotiations want to go to voters, that would presumably have to happen in August. They should move quickly so that the continuing concern about the drawn-out process doesn't hurt their chances of succeeding at the polls.
Well, and something else he said in that spring training quote was, you know, I heard people have decision fatigue about this. I also have decision fatigue.
He's just like the rest of us.
Right. It doesn't seem that he has enough decision fatigue to actually get a move on. But I think, like Dave said, this is something that they need to be cautious of, because as every year goes by, as every month goes by, and they keep teasing a decision that hasn't happened yet, people get more and more frustrated with the Royals overall and with the cities they're negotiating with to get something done.
Now, it wasn't the only stadium-related news this week, by the way. In a surprise op-ed in the Kansas City Star, Missouri auditor Scott Fitzpatrick wrote a thank you note to Kansas for taking the Chiefs. Why? Well, he says the deal means, quote, Kansas will have a hard time luring any Missouri assets across the state line for decades or implementing any new Star Bond projects in Wyandotte and Johnson counties, because all of that sweet Kansas sales tax is going to a state-of-the-art dome stadium for Missouri taxpayer enjoyment. But is that really true, Dave? Does that mean that they can't be, they don't have the bandwidth any longer on the Kansas
side? Well, it depends.
Bigger projects?
Yeah, it will depend on what the size of and the contours of the district, the Star Bond district for the stadium, that will be drawn later this year by the Secretary of Commerce, because you can't have two Star Bond districts paying different bonds. You can't split the money into paying this bond or that bond. And, of course, the original map showed all of Wyandotte County, half of Johnson County, and that's what the auditor is talking about, that there won't be a lot of other areas that you could, in essence, capture the tax revenue from. But we haven't seen the final map yet, and there may be some understanding of that, and the borders shrink because of that.
I did see in the Johnson County Post this week, you had a whole story about all of these tax incentives and how Leawood took a locked-in from the Country Club Plaza, never mind what has been happening with the Chiefs and Olathe and in Wyandotte County. But is there a feeling there that that is it, or are they still looking for other big assets on the Missouri side to bring to town?
You hear officials kind of try to have it both ways, where they say, we don't want a border war, but we're sure glad that they're here in our city. We're sure that they picked us. And so in these two kind of big end-of-year moves, Lockton and the Chiefs, Johnson County, in essence, came out the winner. But you're not having a lot of officials come out and say, we want to lure them over. We want to actively draw them over and restart the border war. Everyone's trying to pay lip service to the fact, to acknowledge that in the past, when the border war was really at its height, the area was missing out on some economic growth and development because of that.
Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas was in court this week. What was he being charged with, you ask? Well, no, he was testifying against the new Missouri congressional map that could squeeze out Kansas City Congressman Emmanuel Cleaver. Did we get any rulings this week, Charlie?
No, I was there for opening statements on Tuesday during this hearing, and the judge was going to be taking some things under advisement. It's a week-long trial and no decisions this week. But this is just one of, like, eight or nine lawsuits challenging those maps that are all still pending.
But the clock is ticking. Next Tuesday is when candidates get to file for Congress. But yet they may not even know which district they're going to be in, Savannah.
Yeah, and some of the even primary challengers for Cleaver in the 5th District are saying, okay, well, if the map holds, maybe I'll run in the 4th. Like, we don't know. The mayor keeps teasing a potential run. I think one thing for sure is that Republicans are going to be coming out hoping that the 5th District changes are cemented. I know Jackson County Legislature Sean Smith is getting ready to announce his run. And so we're going to be seeing this sort of map of people who are running and hoping either that the new map sticks or that it doesn't, and then possibly having to scramble and change their races depending on these legal challenges.
We also see that Rick Bratton, the state senator from Harrisonville, he's also teasing a run if this new map is put in place. But we're also hearing, Dave, that there could be two maps. We could end up having this new map be for this election, and then if the referendum takes place and that map is overturned by voters, that the next cycle we go back to the old map.
And I think we can all hope, and there is a possibility that the Missouri Supreme Court will sort all of this out and sort of issue a blanket order that will clarify things for people and potentially extend, Nick, the sign-up period for office. That's not set in stone. The court could say, hey, look, this has been so confusing, we'll give everybody another 2 weeks or whatever on the other side. And then you'll have the referendum, presumably, which will keep this issue alive even once the court has ruled. The people may have a say, and then you would have some confusion, one assumes, on the other side.
This is now as confusing as the Royal Stadium decision, and perhaps just as long. Now, Costco is on the agenda at City Hall this week, amid growing concerns that the company is going to convert its Midtown store into a Costco business center, a move that would strip it of its pharmacy, food court, and many customer-friendly staples from clothes to toys. Mayor Quinton Lucas met with Costco representatives on Wednesday, at least via phone. Why is this such a big deal? And why is the mayor getting so directly involved in what is sold on the aisles of a retail store?
Well, I think this is interesting in that a lot of the people in the Midtown area, or a lot of the people that come in either from Kansas to buy their alcohol or from, you know, other parts of the metro to this Lynnwood Costco, were mad about it. We're hearing these rumors that were circulating and demanding answers. The mayor, of course, got involved. City Council had that resolution to instruct City Manager Mario Vasquez to try to negotiate either the Costco remain in its current offering or that a store of similar offerings take its place. I think what's interesting here, though, is the reason that city officials feel it necessary to get involved, beyond just the resident concerns about losing their grocery store, is that Costco and this Lynnwood shopping area are under a TIF, a tax increment financing plan.
But it's been there 25 years, and they still have that?
Yes, okay. Yes, because TIFs take decades to pay off. And you'll notice I sound like a broken record on this show. They never really reap the economic benefit that they are planted for.
I did notice a lot of the media reports have people from Kansas who are being quoted as being horrified. Is that because you can get the alcohol at the
Absolutely,
Midtown Kansas City one, but you can't on the Kansas
it's
side
one. Kirkland brand loyalty, man. You got to jump across state line for that. But I'm not surprised by this. We've had a couple of grocery stores close in Johnson County. It's huge news whenever a store like this closes or is potentially leaving. It's for better or worse, an anchor for the community, and people identify with it. And so not surprising at all.
And this really, though, is not a leaving, though. It's just the changing up of the offering. And that's still causing such backlash and outrage.
I know. And I actually got a hold of somebody at Costco Corporate, and they told me that it's like 60% to 70% of the items in a business center are the same that you'd get in a regular store, maybe different sizes and things like that.
Sometimes it's the small things in life that really get you upset.
It is interesting. Kyle brings this up. What it is about grocery stores, Nick, I think we may want to pay some attention to the fact that they are really, the margins must be extraordinarily small. I mean, they're closing all over. Of course, we've had the East Side grocery store we've talked so much about. Price Shoppers are closing at 75th and Metcalf. The margins are very close, and so governments may have to get more involved in supporting these institutions if there's not to be a wholesale uprooting, if you will, of these.
And Dave Helling actually remembers the first grocery store that opened in Kansas City in 1895, which he reported on extensively.
Owned by Les Milgram, as I recall.
Now, it's been a week now since people around the country started seeing this video footage of a local woman trying to burn down a rumored ICE detention center in South Kansas City. She did nothing to hide her appearance. Yet a week on, many of our viewers want to know why there have been no charges filed. Did the police even make an arrest, Charlie?
I have not gotten an update of an arrest here from KCPD. So, no, we're all scratching our heads, you know, like looking at this footage. props to Channel 9 for being there at the right place, right time. And you could, I mean, someone knows who that is.
But a week on, we couldn't have made any apprehensions?
I don't think we should think that ICE or the federal government has given up completely on the idea of some sort of detention center in Kansas City somewhere, and we ought to pay attention to that. Oh,
yeah. Mark Alford's saying, come on down. Yeah. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
Where were the biggest crowds in Kansas City this week? It wasn't at your local Costco. It was at Independence City Hall, which seems to have become the epicenter of public pushback against data centers. Did you see the packed crowd this week protesting a $15 billion artificial intelligence center in the city?
You see how close it's going to be to us. This is going to totally affect our quality of life.
We didn't move out here for that. We moved out here because we wanted to be in the country.
I don't know who in the world would turn down $150 billion worth of work. I know Kansas will take it. They took the Chiefs Stadium.
Independent School District is projected to receive approximately nearly $500 million.
Alrighty, Savannah. I was actually surprised to see so many people there say positive things about the center.
Yeah, the people there that spoke out in support of the data center were Independence School District Superintendent Dr. Cynthia Grant and some local trades unions who, of course, will stand to benefit from the construction jobs, the temporary construction jobs that building the data center will bring. A lot of the people who are against it are the residents who are either surrounding it or people who just don't want another data center in their community. There's already more than 30 in the metro. Many of them hyperscale data centers like this one. I think people are concerned about the health effects, the water and energy usage of this data center, and they don't feel like they're getting heard from the Independent City Council. And
people but we did have that man testifying. Boy, you know, Kansas would love to have this. They took the Chiefs. Who wouldn't want, a $15 billion project? If people nearby the Asperia campus didn't want a ballpark, what about a data center there?
Don't do that to me, Nick. No, yeah. Well, I mean, I think you would see absolutely the same dynamics play out with residents nearby there. They were dead set against the Royals moving there. Savannah mentioned the massive water usage, the electricity usage these centers take up. It's already a very populated area where you mentioned around Asperia. And also, I would say not very accessible to a water source as well. And so we do have data centers, one of them being proposed in DeSoto very near the Kansas River. And so
by the Panasonic plant.
Yeah, by the Panasonic plant. So Asperia, probably not a great site for that.
They're also still talking about Wyandotte County as a potential location for data centers, and there the decision making is also mixed because the centers would presumably provide a lot of money for local governments in a community that believes it is heavily overtaxed now, and might provide at least some construction jobs temporarily and perhaps a few permanent jobs. So the debate over these centers throughout the metro is more complicated than sort of yes or no, thumbs up or thumbs down.
But I think most of us don't actually have much of a clue as to what actually happens in them in the first place.
Right. The people I've spoken to have said they just don't understand in what way this data center will benefit them. Yep. What is the point here?
When you put a program like this together every week, you can't get to every story grabbing the headlines. What was the big local story we missed?
Two killed after a shooting spree inside a Kansas City nightclub. K-State fires Jerome Tang, a pricey legal battle now underway. Funeral services are this week for former Royals outfielder Terrence Gore. He died after appendix surgery. He was 34. 18th and Vine getting its first new hotel in 70 years, part of the $35 million expansion of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Is a familiar face returning to the Chiefs, and a Missouri 2-year-old makes global news after he gets trapped inside an arcade claw machine.
And that's only happened to Kyle Palmer twice in his life. Did you pick one of those stories, Kyle, or something completely different?
I picked something different. So we've seen another brewing battle over housing affordability in Western Lenexa.
Which competed with Independence with the amount of people packed in there complaining.
Yeah, a 7-hour meeting, 90 public comments. The Lenexa City Council at 2:30 in the morning on Wednesday finally approved a plan to build 50 affordable homes built by Habitat for Humanity west of K7. Neighboring residents have already sued the city over this plan, alleging, among other things, that the city violated open meetings laws when they were discussing this proposal over the past year. But supporters of this are really passionate about it. They see Habitat's, you know, solution, limited as it may be, as creative and unique to Johnson County's increasingly expensive housing market. So we'll see how this plays out.
When you look at a theme here throughout this whole show, I mean, nobody wants anything built in their backyard, do they? I mean, isn't that the case?
Completely. And, of course, in the Lenexa case, the people who are most opposed to it are the neighbors across the street, whose homes were obviously built on vacant land at some point in the recent past. So there is some interesting discussion going on, but it is, I live in Lenexa, it is a very, very serious concern there.
And your big story, Miss Dave?
In 7 weeks, a little less than 7 weeks now, Kansas City voters will go to the polls to decide if they want to extend the 1% earnings tax, which we've been through before. It turns out that there are more than a few whispers in Wyandotte County that maybe an earnings tax would be a good idea, particularly if the Chiefs go over there, so that you could capture some of the revenue from all the jobs that are supposedly going to be created. And there is Kansas legislation that would allow a vote in Wyandotte County, or any county for that matter, to impose a 1% tax. That bears watching.
For me, it's that a new bus riders union is launching today, the day that this airs on Friday, and their first order of action is to appeal Kansas City to include more bus funding in their budget, which is a years-long battle, much like the Royal Stadium.
Charlie, I wanted to build on the nightclub shooting where two women died. The Kansas City, Missouri's multidisciplinary task force is now looking into the business, particularly, and launched an investigation to decide whether to suspend or revoke the business license for that nightclub where it happened. So I think it shows that there's some interest.
But they keep talking about those things all the time, and yet they still happen.
Yeah.
Problem businesses continue. And on that, we will say our week has been reviewed, courtesy of KCUR's Savannah Hawley-Bates and Kyle Palmer from the Johnson County Post, from KSHB 41 News, Charlie Keegan, and news icon Dave Helling, now found at Kansas City Stack on Substack. And I'm Nick Haynes. There is no show next week. I know you're upset. In fact, we're gone for the next 3 weeks. Why? Well, you know, money has become a little tight around here these days, and as we've lost our federal funding, and we're heading into an extended membership drive. It's what helped fund this program. But don't worry, we'll be back right afterwards. Until then, be well, keep calm, and carry on.